there was nothing. Lynn?
Okay, turn the mic on. My fault.
Oh my gosh. I was like, okay, how are we going to start this off today? Well, this was perfect. Lynn.
Yep.
I've had a very interesting experience today. And the back of my eyeballs are hurting. And when I say that, I just mean that there's pressure behind my eyeballs. And my eyes keep blinking on and off. Like it's almost like I can't keep my eyes open.
Okay.
And I got this candy at World Market that they're chocolates, but they're wrapped in different types of bills. You know, $1 bill, $5 bill, $100 bills, you know, things like that.
Okay.
So I have them sitting on my desk, and as the intro song was playing, I immediately picked up the $5 bill one, and I'm sitting here staring at it with Abraham Lincoln.
Okay.
So, I don't know what that means. Moving on. Okay, I don't know who that was for. All right. Well, basically, Lynn, who was Abraham Lincoln and what did he do?
You know, not too big of a figure. Just 16th president of the United States, freed the slaves, Democrat from Illinois. I don't know, you know, not that big of a figure, but nevertheless, he was a figure.
I am so impressed that you just knew that right off your head.
Well, one of my favorite subjects in school was U.S. history. By the way, shout out to Mr. Stein if he's still alive somewhere. All 5 foot one of them.
Really?
Oh, yeah. That was the funny thing. He was, I swear he put the one on there just to make himself look taller, but he was literally about 4'11", 5 foot. And here we are coming in, literally towering over him, anything from like 5'11 to 6'3 to 6'4. And he always found a way to make it engaging, intriguing, and just fun. I mean, one day the desk would be in its regular rows, and next day they'd be in a circle, next day they'd be in a semicircle. You know, on Thursdays there were no chairs at all, so we had to stand. It was, he always did something to catch your eye, and he's, to me, he goes down as one of my favorite teachers of all time.
Wow, because he was constantly always shifting perspectives of the room.
Absolutely.
Because if you really think about that, history is all about shifting perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So during the time of Abraham Lincoln, what year was Abraham Lincoln around?
Oh, I want to say 1860s. Because I knew it was around the time of the Civil War.
Okay, that's right, I think. So, basically, where slavery was back in that time frame is not where we are at today in this time frame of slavery.
Right.
And I want someone out there, if they're listening, I'm hearing my cats fight in the other room, meaning they're playing.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, if anyone's listening out there, I really want to take some calls today about what other people's perspectives are of slavery. Because when you have so many different types of history role models, you know, like Abraham Lincoln or the other presidents of the world, or, you know, Hitler, you know, people like that. It doesn't matter if they were here for good or evil, right? Because they still make an impact on history.
Correct.
And so somewhere all of us have been enslaved to something. And so what we do is we relive history, but we relive history in the time frames that we're in today. It's just the experiences look different. So, you know, the way slavery might have looked back around Abraham Lincoln's time, well, we still have slavery today. It just takes on a different form. And so we're constantly negating that we still have slavery because we're like, oh, well, thank God we don't live in such and such time period anymore. Well, yeah, that's true, but we're still simultaneously running all of those timelines. So somewhere it becomes prejudice or racism or entitlements or judgments or whatever, because as long as we still have this big judicial system, we still have slavery. So we're really enslaved to ourselves. So I'm curious to know today who feels like they are entrapped inside of their own mind, body, or spirit, and do they need help moving that energy to get them to the next level? So I'm really curious about that, if there is somebody out there, because there's a reason why I brought that up. Okay. Moving on. What else do you have to say, Lynn?
I'm still kind of wondering where you were going with all of this, but I kind of see it now. I mean, it all kind of goes back to the phrase, those that don't know or know of their history are doomed to repeat it. So I kind of get where you're going.
Yes. And when you said that, there was something that I heard and I just forgot. Oh, here it is. I feel like I just woke up.
Yeah, that makes two of us.
Yeah, I really do. Because here's what happened. I have been undergoing such an intense last several days because this spiritual awakening path that I've been on for obviously my entire lifetime, but I really got started on this next phase like last year, right? Mm-hmm. And I say that purposely. And it was really a phase of myself where I think a part of my spirit went to sleep. So I could really go inside of myself as an inner child and heal those parts of me that had been wounded that I had taken on from family lineages, or I had blamed on other people or whatever. Like, I've literally been spending the last year of my life cleaning all that stuff up. And I got this email today, literally maybe like 15 minutes before I got on air, and I'm not going to get into it because it's not the appropriate time right now, yet I started crying because I knew that message was for me, specifically. And I'm not going to explain what that means right now because I'm still processing it. Right. And I started bawling, and I literally went, oh my gosh, all of my hopes and dreams are about to come to fruition. And it was like who it came from is even more credible than even what was displayed in the message. And it was like I was at the stoplight reading it. I was not driving. I was stopped. For anybody listening out there, and it was like this sword to my soul that just killed off anything that was keeping me in bondage that I had to bondage, so to speak, in order for me to basically strangle those inner parts of me that had been fighting themselves the whole time of my existences. And it was kind of like somebody just finally took the shackles off and said, hey, Shelby, you're about to get all this.
Okay.
And it was this huge spiritual awakening to where I literally felt like I just woke up. Now, what happened prior to that, me getting that email, was I got up and I got dressed and I felt like I had to go to this restaurant that is one of my favorite restaurants around here where I live, and it's called the Gold Mine, Goldmine. And it's just a backwoods southern cooking type of establishment. I mean, they're all about family. You go in there, everybody knows everybody, kind of a thing. And I go in there, I'm having all these synchronicities. Lynn, I had completely, completely forgotten I was living on the planet. Meaning, I was in there in a totally different type of lucid energy, but I'm thinking that I'm coherent. You know, and I'm making all these mistakes in my order, all kinds of stuff, but I'm just thinking I'm normal. Well, then as I got up to leave, the people in the restaurant called me over. Oh, Shelby, come here. I want you to meet my sister. I want you to meet this person, blah, blah, blah. You know, oh, Shelby, tell them who you are and what you do, because she loves the fact that I'm a psychic medium. And so I'm having this conversation, and then right in the middle of the conversation, Lynn, something came into my chest, literally, like kinesthetically, I felt it, and I literally went, oh my God, what time is it? And I, and everyone, their faces were like, because this was right in the middle of the conversation of me talking.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, oh my God, what time is it? And I grabbed my phone in my purse, and it was 2:06. And I went, oh my God, I totally forgot that I do a radio show. Those were the words that came out of my mouth.
Okay.
I totally forgot that I do a radio show. How bizarre. And it was like, I did. I totally forgot. And I panicked. And I went, oh my God, I've got to go. Because I had one more stop I had to make before I came home. And I thought I had the whole afternoon. I was just living in la-la land. And so it was like quickly my energy just took off full force. And it was like all of a sudden my whole entire energy just dropped back into reality. And I was like, oh shit, I live here. You know what I mean?
Right.
And as I was driving home and rushing and, you know, trying to get back here to get on the computer and everything like that, I was that's when I got the email and I started crying. It was just like, you know, all this stuff is filtering in now. And I realized, oh my gosh, this is what it feels like when people are asleep on the planet. This is what it feels like when you think that you're living because you're in routine until something comes and jolts you awake, and then you realize you were never living at all.
Mm-hmm.
Lynn, I had never felt that kind of energy lesson before. It was the most bizarre thing. Now, intellectually, I had told people for years, oh, do you know how many people that are walking the planet and they're asleep and blah, blah, blah? Okay, well, I understand that from an intellectual standpoint. However, the universe allowed me to feel during that time frame when I was at the restaurant what it really felt like to be asleep, but living. Totally different. And I went, and somewhere inside of me, I went, oh my God, I have a newfound respect for every single person living on this planet, because I literally just felt like how most people feel, where they think they're awake, they think they understand things, they think they're happy, they think they have this, they think they have that, until all of a sudden, shing! Electricity comes in. Oh my God! You know, what time is it? I forgot I have a radio show. And so that's what spiritual enlightenment is about, is that split second where your energy wakes up and realizes it hadn't been living until now. And that's when you start on this massive enlightenment of self. And that's when everything in your world starts changing. That's when you start clearing old belief systems. That's when you start clearing who you are. That's when you start figuring out who you are. That's when you start getting the dream jobs that you want. That's when your relationships start turning around for the better. That's when you start to get a different faith inside of your system. That's when you challenge what the whole, you know, religious doctrines and spiritualities and gods are all about. You know, that is the enlightenment path. And everybody's waking up at different times, but they're waking up more so now more than ever because of the way that we're on the planet. Okay, I'm done with that. All right, moving on. Okay, so I'm taking a drink of my half-sweet, half-unsweet tea. So, Lynn, I'm awake. Are you going to join me?
That's a good thing.
Good. So are you going to join me?
What do you mean? I've been here the entire time.
Oh, good. But are you going to join? Are you going? That's funny. I was going to say, are you going to enjoin me on this awakening process?
Sure. I got nothing else to do. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, I'm here. What's up?
Oh, good. I'm just making up my own words. Well, when you said that, I literally just opened this $5 bill chocolate candy and it's kind of melted because I had the heat way up. So I'm eating it now, and 5 is lower magic. So we must be in lower magic.
Okay.
So we're going to make some lower magic happen. Okay. Lynn, where do you feel like I need to go from here?
I don't know. I mean, you always, it's weird because you always have something to, you know, to come back to in regards to what happened, to you. I really don't have a feeling as to which way you need to go. So my thing is, as long as you have a choice or have an option, pick a spot and go with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can literally feel in my head that I'm trying to make a decision, and I don't know what decision I want to make. That's how my energy is feeling. Mm-hmm. So now I'm gonna move to all of the people out there who are in a position right now, one of my friends included, who are trying to make it, because her face just popped up in my head, who are trying to make a decision right now, and they don't know if that decision is going to be the right decision. So I'm going to talk to all of those people right now. And if any of those people out there are listening live and they want to call in and, have me help them with that, if that's meant to be, they're more than welcome. Lynn, can you verbally give out the phone number? Because I don't have it here written down.
Sure. Numbers to call into the show are 719-362-8851 or 719-362-8852.
Perfect. And at any time you need to repeat those numbers in the middle of my conversations, you can.
Okay.
So I'm talking to the people out there who are in the middle of a decision-making process, and they don't know if they're going to make the wrong decision. Those are the ones I'm communicating with. There is no wrong decision. And it's so funny, I hear feedback through my computer. But there is no wrong decision. You can only make a decision based on where you are in the moment. And you know when to make that decision because you will have the experience that I had today where all of a sudden you go, oh my God, what time is it? Oh my God, I forgot I have a radio show. That is when we call it the burning bush of enlightenment. That's when you are praying to God and going, can you please give me a sign to let me know if I'm on the right path, God? Can you please give me a sign if this is what I'm supposed to do? Okay, that sign comes from it comes from within your heart chakra first, because you have to internally evaluate if you believe that your self-worth is good enough to have what you want, which is the decision that you're trying to make. And so usually what we try to do is go, oh, I'm going to put it all out there into the universe, and I'm going to let God give me the burning bush example first, and then I'm going to make the decision. Uh-uh. That's not how decisions work. Decisions work based on, did you internally process everything to where energetically you feel like you're deserving of having what it is that you want? And then that energy goes out into the planet, and then all of a sudden you go, okay, I'm going to move forward in that decision, and then boom, whatever it is that you want shows up. So here's an example. I told my friend the other day, my best friend that I'm living with right now, we were having this conversation the other day, and all of a sudden in the middle of the conversation I told her, you need to go buy yourself a new nightgown. It was just like random. I was like, you need to go buy yourself a new nightgown. And she kind of laughed and she goes, that's really funny you say that. She's like, I don't even wear nightgowns. Like, usually she just doesn't even wear anything to bed, right? She said. But she had been thinking about nightgowns. Well, so I thought, well, that must be a message for me, too. I might need to go buy something like a new type of a sleepwear nightgown. And so then her dog peed on one of my pet beds today. And so the last couple of days, he's been marking these pet beds. So she and I must be, well, we know, we must be moving a lot of energy because the male dog is acting out, okay? And so, but I've been wanting to get rid of this pet bed for a while because it ripped and, you know, whatever. So when I noticed that he marked it today, I just was like, oh, forget it. You know, I'll just let him have it and I'll go buy Katie a new one, you know, because I have these pet beds in my bedroom and, you know, they're designated for their sleep time and whatever. But since I moved in with her, her dog likes to come and sleep in my room when she's not here. So he's like, where do I belong? Kind of a thing. So part of the reason why I was rushing to get on air today was because I stopped at Ross. I love Ross. I hadn't been to Ross in a long time.
Okay.
And I'm sitting here gung-ho energetically. I walk in, and the very first thing that I see is a black sweatshirt, my size, with a diamond on it, and it says Ring of Fire. Now, that has major significance to me, which I don't have to explain on air today.
Okay.
Now, then I went further, and I went back over into the pet beds, and I had been thinking that I wanted to buy a pet blanket also for them and a new bed. So immediately I find the exact pet bed, I find the exact pet blanket, boom, okay, purchase is done and complete. And then all of a sudden, there was something else that happened, and I was like, okay, I got these three things, I think that's all I'm supposed to have in here. And then all of a sudden, once again, kind of like in the restaurant, but different, I went, oh my God, I've got to go look for a new nightgown. And I'm on a time clock, remember? Because I just remembered I had a radio show at 3 o'clock.
Right.
I don't need to be at Ross buying all this stuff. Yes, I do. Okay, because apparently the energy was meaning for me to be there.
Right.
And so, and I was even thinking, worst case scenario, I just call in. You know, but I have to take care of this. This is important. And so I went over to the sleepwear section, and the very first... You know how in Ross they have everything crunched together and you have to sort through everything?
Sure.
Well, the very first sleepwear nightgown that I pulled out, it was all black, and then it had this little monogrammed thing on the front, like I think it's a heart, and underneath it, it says, I am lovable. And then the inner lining is all hearts. And I didn't even think about it, you know, like I didn't even think twice about whether about getting it. I mean, I just pulled it off and bought it. That's how I shop, okay? Is I wait for to be energetically inspired, and then all of a sudden I will think, oh my God, I have to go get cat food, or oh my God, I have to get litter, or oh my God, I have to get a nightgown, or oh my God, I have to get, you know. And when I have that inspiration, then I wait for that energy to move me, and that's when I end up at the stores, and that's how I can buy everything so fast. Because I've already programmed it, not even knowing that I consciously programmed it.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason why the nightgown was so important is because everything that I've been working on in this enlightenment has been about getting back to my inner child and healing who she was at a core level. And so that nightgown was so significant, because it was the sign from God and universe that I am lovable. That was my energy telling me, Shelby, you're worthy now of having the love that you want in your world on a continuous basis because you are lovable. You reached it. So when I got that email right afterwards, that's why I started crying. Because that's what I call the domino effect of synchronicities. So people in life will sit there and put their power into something else when the whole entire time the power is within you. And when you open up that energy space to allow that energy to connect in and guide you where it needs to go, then all of a sudden your energy starts getting trained along the way. And when you get really close to clearing all that stuff, the dominoes just start knocking, you know, that domino effect starts happening energetically. And then all of a sudden these fun synchronicities and things come in your world and you start going, oh my God, look, this happened. Oh my gosh, look at this. This happened. Oh my gosh, this happened. Oh my gosh, my life has never been so much fun. Oh my God, look, now this happened. Holy shit, I'm getting married. How'd that happen? You know, like that, and I'm saying that as a big example, you know, but it's like, that's when you're in the flow of life and you're allowing energetically everything to transpire. So I tell people, why wouldn't you want to wake up? Why wouldn't you want your energy to wake up? Because when your energy wakes up, you're that much closer to getting everything you want that you talk about for years. It happens, and it happens fast, it happens easily, and it happens gracefully. Because your ego's no longer fighting anything, and it just happens. So, I feel like I want to pull a card. Let's go ahead and take a break. I'm going to go get my well-being cards, and I'm going to pull a card after the break.
You got it.
Okay.
Hey, this is Sam Farnsworth, sports director at KKTV Channel 11 in Colorado Springs. But now, I'm also on the team at Cosmic Broadcasting. Listen to my show, The Press Box, each Friday afternoon at 1 o'clock Mountain Time. We'll cover it all, from high school sports in your backyard, all the way to the pros, exclusive interviews, and of course, we want the listeners involved. We'll take your phone calls and your tweets, all on The Press Box.
Hi, this is Tony Caputo from No, I'm Watching Football.com here to tell you about the Gridiron Grub Cookbook. It's a fantastic gift idea for the football fan in your life. It has great football-related stories from fans all over the country, but more important, it has fantastic recipes from football fans from all over the country. At least one delicious recipe from every fan of every pro team in the league. And people ask me, Tony, what is No, I'm Watching Football? Look, if you know me and you ask me to do something on a Sunday afternoon during football season, my response is, no, I'm watching football. So we took that, made it into KnowIMWatchingFootball.com and turned that into the Gridiron Grub Cookbook as well. Appetizers in Atlanta to salmon in Seattle, jambalaya in New Orleans, wings, burgers, chili, you name it, the Gridiron Grub Cookbook has it. Fantastic gift idea for the holidays. You can get it today. KnowIMWatchingFootball.com.
Now, the Connection Puzzle Radio Show on CosmicBroadcasting.com and the Cosmic Broadcasting app.
Chef Michael Gabriel from Hell's Kitchen. On Facebook, I noticed that you're looking for fire dancers.
I am opening up a Chamorro food truck. It's a Pacific Island food truck. It's from Saipan. Now, that truck, it has whole pigs. We roast whole pigs in there. I mean, it can touch a lot of cultures of Ireland. We roast whole pigs. A 250-pound pig I can roast inside of my food truck. Probably about 40 chickens at a time, whole chickens roast. We're going to do whole fish grilled. We'll have grilled ribs. We'll have all of this. And we want to create the whole island vibe for the entire city of Houston. Okay, let's bring in the fire dancers. Let's just throw the cherry on top.
The Connection Puzzle Radio Show, Friday, 2 p.m., only on CosmicBroadcasting.com.
Front Range Auto Glass will beat any price quote and uses only top-notch OEM glass. Glass Tech Travis has over 15 years' experience and is mobile, so you don't have to change your day to change your windshield. Front Range Auto Glass gives you a lifetime guarantee on labor and all auto glass without an impact point. Call to schedule your appointment on 330-3205. That's 330-3205. Or leave a note on Facebook.com/Front Range Auto Glass. A tiny chip in your windshield could quickly lead to a complete cracked windshield. So don't delay and replace it today. Broken windshield? No worries. Front Range Auto Glass won't break your budget.
When you have breast cancer, these are some of the first words you hear. HER2 new oncogene, ductal carcinoma in situ. What do they mean? How can you decide what to do if you can't even say what you have? This is Olivia Newton-John. You can go to breastcancer.org, a special place on the internet where you can learn how to say all those medical words and find out what they mean. Understand your diagnosis and your treatment options. Breastcancer.org, the first place to go the minute you find out you have breast cancer.
Or you you can simply follow us on Twitter. Follow us at Cosmic Broadcast 1.
It's worked so far, but we're not out yet.
I want to know what you're thinking. There are some things you can't hide. I want to know what you're feeling. Tell me what's on your mind.
Pure energy.
These are my well-being cards. It was interesting when the song started playing. All of a sudden, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to start shuffling these cards because the song is going to say pure energy. So I am obviously talking about waking up people's energies on this radio show. And Lynn, when you titled this radio show, I would do it as a question mark where it says, do you want to wake up your energy? And type energy in capital letters.
Got it.
I'm still shuffling. Okay, there that came. Yeah, this one. Okay. Okay. The well-being card, this is basically like an oracle card. And if people, we talked about tarot cards and angel cards and things on last week's show. And what this particular deck is, it's the teachings of Abraham. It's Esther and Jerry Hicks. And they're well-being cards. And these are cards that if you're just getting into energy and learning how to pay more attention and be aware of who your energy is. These are really good cards that you can use and just pick a card a day just to kind of see where you are energetically. So the card I just picked, there is a girl sleeping in a bed and you can see the moon in the background. And on the front of the card, it says, the universe knows me and the universe adores me. And I just looked at the clock on my computer, and it says 3:33 p.m. And, of course, I'm on Texas time.
Yep.
And so 333 is an angel number, and it's all about new thought patterns and things like that. So people can Google 333. So if people Google 333 spiritual numerology meaning, then they can learn what 333 means. Because when you're starting spiritual awakenings, you will have different phases of those awakenings, and the angels will communicate with numbers. And so when those types of numbers come around, there are signs from the universe that you're on your path, and that's the angel realm trying to give you communication. So when you're waking up and things start happening in your world and you start shape-shifting into these different types of energies, you're always looking for messages from the universe that, okay, does the universe support me? Does God support me? Well, yes, of course, or you wouldn't be able to wake up like that. So this well-being card that I just picked, the universe knows me and the universe adores me, is a validation of, you know, what we're talking about today. Mm-hmm. And on the back of it, it says, if you will allow it, you will feel the love that flows to you and through you. You are always seen, always understood, and always loved. So how many times do we walk the planet and we think that nobody sees us, or we think that nobody understands who we are, or we think that nobody feels that they're truly in love with who we are, dark sides and all. And so what happens is because when we put those emotional blocks up of, well, I don't think anybody really knows who I am, or they don't really understand me, or I don't think I'm really loved, then what happens is we disallow feeling any kind of love from source, God, universe, spirit, angels, you know, whatever. We omit feeling that energy come through us that actually is what brings us that feeling that we entitle love, as the word love that we label. So therefore, we walk around with entitlements of, well, I deserve to have a new car. I deserve to be married. I deserve to have a nice man. I deserve this. I deserve this. Well, if the energy behind it is off and it's coming from an entitlement type of background, like, well, I deserve to have this because I've been a slave in a past life, or I've been a slave to Uncle Sam in this lifetime, or I've been a slave to the radio station because I had to get up at 5 a.m. I'm referring to my ex-husband. Or, you know, I'm entitled to have this because, you know, I'm a female and I've been married to this man for 30 years. He better give this to me. Okay, like, when we run those energy patterns of entitlement, then we mix up in the universe the signal of bringing to us what we so want and what we rightfully deserve, because the energy is saying, well, son of a bitch, you better bring that to me. Look at how I suffered. And that's when you become greedy in a selfish kind of a manner, and your energy becomes ungrateful. Because it's like, well, I did all this suffering, so of course I deserve this. No, you just did what everybody else does on the planet too. Get over it. You know, I mean, I can say that because, my God, I've made enough mistakes myself. Because the only reason I can say that is, hello, I've done it. Okay? So now we're at this place in enlightenment on your journeys when your energy has to match the vibration behind the words that you speak. And everybody's getting called on the carpet for that now. And so you can no longer hide in an illusion of, well, I go to church every day, or I go to church every Sunday, and I preach the gospel, and I work in the Sunday school class, and I'm on choir realm, and blah, blah, blah. And then the next minute you know, you're turning around watching porn when you go home, or you're turning around having an affair with your secretary, or you're turning around and talking about the black guy across the street who hit your car, or you're talking about the white chick that looks like a prostitute. Okay, like, you know, we're always judging somewhere. And so the only way we get pure is to get out of everybody else's business. And when we get out of everybody else's business, because we're so worried trying to take everybody else down, because we don't want people to be happy before we're happy, because that's just an energy thing, then what happens is we create all this shit in our world. But it's purposeful. And the only way you can get through that is to wake up, to pay attention to what's going on, and then swallow your pride and your ego and your humbleness and everything else, and just let the energy take over and just be like, okay, well, here we go. Because it doesn't matter what's happening. It just doesn't matter. It's just about getting to the place where you don't have to create drama. And I can say that because I am the master queen at creating that drama in the past. Hello. It's the only reason I can do this now. Okay. So all I got to do is look at my past radio shows, right, Lynn? Oh, yes. Okay. Boy, what a bitch I have been in my world. Okay. But if you look, if I say that because I have been a bitch, and I don't mean where I have ridiculed people and torn them down verbally in the sense of, well, you know I'm better than you, blah, blah, blah. Like, I haven't been okay, let me clarify. My bitch has not been a personality issue. My bitch has been an energetic flip, how do I say this? An energetic wash, meaning anything that was on my energy field, if it was not cleaned up, I put that on other people unconsciously. And then when those people would respond in certain ways in my world, and I didn't like it, well, guess what? That was my fault. Because somewhere my energy put that on their energy. So therefore, I was having to deal with the drama that I just stirred up with that person because I imprinted that energy on that person. And when I did that, it did not allow that person to be who they are as a natural energy of strength. And so therefore, I started making judgments. And therefore, I started placing blame. And therefore, I started saying, well, you're the one that has the problem, and I'm the one that's the genius. Okay, so it's kind of like, but, oh, my home phone's ringing again. Oh, good, I must be going home with this point. So basically, it's like when you displace your energy onto other people because you're trying to learn something, then you've got to be careful what you create out there because you're the one creating that. So if something's not going your way, well, it might be time for you to wake up because you're putting that energy out there. I'm done with that. Okay, now, the two cards, I was playing with my well-being cards, and the next card that was selected, it says, I can relax into my natural well-being. Isn't that funny? And then the one in my right hand that's it's upside down. It's like I'm trying to read it upside down. It says, I'm reading this upside down. Your decision to reach for a thought that feels good is a powerful decision, for it serves you in many ways. The better feeling thought reverberates within you, opening passageways to well-being that reach far beyond this one good feeling thought. And I read that upside down. I'm quite impressed with myself.
That's not bad.
Okay. Do what?
That's not bad.
Yeah, it's not bad. Well, I was a reading teacher, so at least my college education's coming together. Okay. I taught myself how to read through college, apparently. Okay. So, and I'm sitting here staring at this card as it's upside down. I don't even know what's on the other side of it. But it goes back to what I was talking about at the top of the hour, which is I was talking to all those people out there who are having an unconscious time making a decision, meaning their unconscious mind had been hindering them from seeing the truth of a higher enlightenment of information in order to feel it in their heart chakra so they could ground into it and figure out what was going on, okay? And it's because when you don't make that decision, it's because you're second-guessing whether or not the universe loves you and adores you, okay? All right, now the next card that I just flipped over said, and I'm reading this one upside down. This one's upside down too. It says, nothing that has ever happened has anything to do with now, unless in my now, I continue to think and speak about it. Fresh new thoughts today will always give me a fresh new experience. So basically, what this is saying is that nothing that has ever happened has anything to do with now. Yeah, because if anything is happening in your world and you don't like it, it's because you're running that on a different timeline. And so you have to have a new thought pattern in order to have a fresh new approach to how you might experience something. Because that's all we're living off of is our thought patterns. So that's why I teach people NLP, which is the neuro-linguistics programming that Michael talked about on last week's show, through my sessions. Because NLP breaks down what those belief systems are that are creating the thought patterns that are creating the realities of the decisions that you're making in your world. So if you don't really like what your decisions are and what's happening, or if you don't like being stuck, well, it's because there's something going on in your head, in your mind, that's keeping you there. So I have a friend of mine who has a really great job opportunity. I mean, it is like the perfect experience for this friend of mine to have. And, I mean, I'm talking, they have been treating her like royalty. But she's second-guessing leaving the old place and going to the new place now. So I had to sit there and go, okay, where is she not feeling in her self-worth that she deserves to have all that she came here to be? Because all of a sudden, she's about to make the decision. She's got a new job handed to her on a silver platter. And now all of a sudden, oh, I don't know if I should do that right now. So then I had to work through those belief systems. So that's how we keep ourselves from success. That is slavery. So a show of hands out there, how many of you have been doing that in your world? How many of you have been sitting there saying, oh, I want to win the lottery. Oh, I want to have the man of my dreams. Oh, I want that. And then all of a sudden you get really close to it and you shit on it and it goes away. That's self-worth. So we might sit there and think, yes, this is the only thing that I want in my world. But then when it shows up, and you're ready to have it, your energy might go, oh, I don't know. I don't know if I can do that. Okay, that
almost,
went in. I don't know who
like
that was.
Like people being afraid of succeeding.
Now, is it being afraid of succeeding? Or is it being afraid of someone actually becoming who they are?
I think the latter is the lead in for the previous. I think people are destined to be who they are. I mean, anything that they want to be, it's inside of them. They can do it. But the question is, what are you willing to go through in order to be that person? You know, what steps are you willing to take? What hoops are you willing to jump through? It's just kind of like that. And you get so many people that, at least I know in this world, that get to that last part. And then for some reason, whether it's self-doubt, doubt from a peer, or whatever the case may be, they just stop. And you're on the outside looking in and you're looking at them and you're going, what are you doing? You got one more step. And they're going, nah, I can't do it. Well, what do you mean you can't do it? You were there. You spent X amount of years going through it. Now you're telling me you're going to get all the way there and stop? It's almost like being a senior in high school with a month to go and you drop out.
Oh, my God, yeah. Exactly. Because you get distracted. And how do I know that you get distracted? Because as you were sitting here speaking your brilliance, I started hearing this sound coming from the kitchen. And I'm like, what is that sound? It sounds like a cat food can, and it sounds like a dog is licking it. Mm-hmm. But the trash is up. But I haven't gotten up to go look at it because I'm sitting here doing my show. But I'm listening to you, but I'm hearing something all the way in the kitchen. And then all of a sudden, I had to find myself connecting back into your words. And then all of a sudden, I heard in my head, distraction. And so what you're saying is accurate, which is you're like a month away from graduation, and then all of a sudden it's like, well, maybe I don't deserve to have it. I'm going to quit. Because you start listening to that noise in the background, like what just happened in my house, you start listening to that noise in the background thinking, well, maybe that noise back there, if that noise is telling me not to go forward. No, that is just noise. Intuition is different than noise. So what I tell people is that you can never go backwards. Once you move through an experience, you move through it. And then you bring in another one, and you'll move through that one too. Okay, so you're always moving. You're always moving up the ladder of success, even if the experiences are looking the same. They're not the same. They're different. you're learning different things at every level. So you're never failing. Failure is an illusion. Because the only thing that we have is movement. And as long as you're making decisions and you're having experiences and you're taking opportunities as they come and you're not blocking those blessings, you'll get challenged with things. Don't get me wrong. There's going to be things where you learn along your path where you say, yeah, no, that's not the right time. Or maybe I need to slow down or whatever. But you still look at the opportunities. But quitting, like your example, Lynn, oh, I've got 1 month to graduation out of high school. Okay, that's just downright stupid.
Right.
Because that's right in front of you. So, I mean, if you've got 4 job offers, okay, that's a little different. But if you've been working on 1 goal, like graduating from school, okay, no, don't fucking sabotage that shit. Because then you do have to go make that up somewhere in the planet. So, but yeah, that's what people will do. They'll sabotage it. So now I can tell this story. Monday, I went to the gym. No, I'm sorry. It was Sunday. And all of a sudden, like I'm driving, and trying to make this short. All of a sudden, I was driving to the gym and I knew I had to get gas. Well, I couldn't decide if I was supposed to stop and get gas before or after the gym. Well, it turned out that I got held up at the gym for a couple hours, meeting somebody new. That's a whole long story, not purposeful for this radio show today. So it started raining. So as I was leaving the gym, I was coming down the road. I stopped at the gas station that I always stop at. It was a big racetrack or Quick Trip gas station. And I'm in the car. I'm parked at the pump. I hadn't gotten out of my car yet. And I was texting my spiritual mentor about something that had happened that was symbolic at the gym. When all of a sudden, I heard a really big bang. And I had my phone in my hand. My car was turned off. My car was closest to the street. I look up, and there's 2 cars spinning out of control and hitting the telephone pole and median where I was sitting. And I literally froze the energy, so to speak, meaning I started fixating on the spinning Jaguar. And this car, I don't know how many spins he did. Thank God he did not come up over the median, or he would have hit everybody in that gas station, and I was the first one he would have hit. Mm. And if I would have been out of my car, that would have been a really bad scene.
Right.
And so, needless to say, both cars were totaled. The one driving the Jaguar was an 18-year-old Hispanic boy with a 16-year-old girlfriend. The one driving what I call the ghetto-fied car, and I'm just saying it this way, you know, the African-American culture, you know how they like their cars, the really big rims and the hydraulics and the bright colors. It's a cultural thing. So that kid was 17 years old. So you've got an 18-year-old Hispanic kid driving a Jaguar. You've got a 17-year-old African-American kid driving one of those really big older Impalas with this blue that I've never seen before, and he had his 2 sisters in the car. And long story short, I was on the scene for an hour and a half doing the spiritual energy work, okay, with these teenagers. And luckily nobody was hurt. There was blood, but, you know, fortunately the right angels were there having an intervention. But when I spoke to the 17-year-old, he was in shock. And I said to him, I asked him at one point if he had a driver's license, and he didn't. He didn't have insurance either. And then I asked him about his car, and he had just bought his car the day before. The day before, he had just bought that car. No driver's license yet, but he bought the car. And as he's in shock, and I'm working on him, the very first thing that came flowing out of my mouth, and my finger was touching his chest, is I said, "No more competition. You are no longer in competition with anybody." And he literally started crying. No more competition. And I said, "You are loved and you are meant to be here." And he was bawling. He was in shock. I was in his unconscious mind. He was in theta. I was programming him. And his real emotions came out. His two sisters didn't even stay on the scene. They walked all the way back to the apartment to get their mother. And both cars were totaled. Airbags deployed. The Hispanic kid couldn't even get out of his car. We had to carry him through the driver's side window that was completely shattered. I mean, EMTs got on the scene. I mean, it was a pure big accident. And there were so many spiritual symbolisms in that one accident, but for this radio show, the part of the story that needs to be told is that this 17-year-old kid missed a step. Meaning, he didn't get his driver's license before he got his car. So somewhere in his unconscious mind, he went to entitlement and said, I'm just going to get my car. Fuck it. I don't need to have a license. So guess what? His unconscious emotional brain came back and kicked his ass, and he wrecked his car the day after he got it. Thank God he was only 17, and all of his spiritual adult family, me included, was on the scene to heal that and shift it so he didn't have to live that again. You do not skip steps. It doesn't matter how much you want something and how much you think you are entitled to have it. If you miss a step, your unconscious mind will come and kick your ass. And that is when we go into suffering. That's when we go into, why did God do this to me? That's when we go into, I've done everything I know how to do. Okay, that's when we go into that bullshit. That's you. That's your unconscious people out there doing that. That's why we have accidents. Because we're missing steps because we so bad want to get to the end of it. So we'll do whatever we can with our ego and our will to overpower naturally the divine order of how things are supposed to come in based on how we're supposed to have those learnings. So we have 1 minute left. Thank you, Lynn. So that little 17-year-old boy, thank God he got that lesson now, because next time he's going to go back and make sure he gets his license. He was underage. Literally, if you think about it, and he hit two other teenagers, but that could have been way worse because ultimately that accident was his fault. So if somebody would have gotten killed or something like that, he would have had a whole different outcome. So this is why I'm telling the universe of people out there, do not skip any steps. So if you're looking to make a decision, you make the decision that is resonating in your soul then, because there are no mistakes, but you do it with the intention that you're not skipping steps anymore, that you're lining up, and that's the spiritual awakening. That's the spiritual enlightenment. Okay, Lynn, I'm done. Do you have anything to say before we're over and out?
Good lesson. I like that. Don't miss steps.
Well, until next time, open up your light.